Welcome to the Umpiring Fast Pitch Softball Podcast. I'm David.
And I'm Pete. And this week we're going to go over some OHSAA reminders that came out to us as part of the OHSAA White Book.
Yeah, it's in two sections, Pete. We got a rules section and a mechanics section. So try to get through these today and less so that we don't keep you for another 40-minute episode like we might have just recorded a little bit ago. So the first one is about noisemakers. So the use of any item to create additional noise is a violation of the unsporting conduct regulation. So noisemaking devices are not permitted in the dugout. This would include musical instruments, whistles, horns. It is also not permissible to bang items such as ball buckets or bang bats on dugouts, fences, or benches. Note that the penalty for the violation is a warning, but for repeated violations, the umpire may restrict to the bench or eject either the head coach or offenders. Umpires should first warn before they enforce this rule.
Yep. So here's a question for you. So it says don't bang bats on fences and bang this. If I'm excited and I bang my hand on the fence and I go like that,
that's a no-go.
It's a noni.
That's artificial noisemaker, right? You're making artificial noise. You can yell. And then I would also caution this. Don't, and we talked about this in one of our most recent episodes too, don't do a cheer that is meant to distract the pitcher.
Now you can't just like, we want a pitcher, not a belly itcher. Not that, but one that you said where the crescendo, it gets really loud as she's about to release.
You can't do that because that's interference. Because if you look up the rule for interference, interference can be verbal or physical. So that would be verbal interference if I'm there. I'm going to make sure that doesn't happen. Here in Ohio, since this is OHSAA, what about sweatshirts and jackets, Pete?
Yeah, so Rule 321 allows state associations to permit players to wear sweatshirts and jackets. And in Ohio, we have adopted that. So if there's inclement weather, you can wear that. And those sweatshirts and jackets don't have to necessarily show their name and their number. They don't have to adhere to the uniform rules in that case, at least here in Ohio.
Right, yep, exactly. So there's an opportunity for cheating. So let's not make sure we're not cheating.
Yeah, you run somebody out there and just, okay, give your sweatshirt to Judy, even though she didn't have a re-entry. Maybe they'll think Judy's you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Put your hair in a ponytail. Judy wears hers in a ponytail. That takes me back to where I wanted to have twins. Casey, I loved Casey to death. Absolutely love her to death. And the only thing better than Casey would be two Caseys. It would be awesome. I would have loved to have had twins that were pitchers and catchers, both, right? They both pitched and they both caught.
Well, you know what? You know what? One of my guilty pleasures is young adult softball books. So they're written for basically teens. But there's an author named Jody Studdard. He's a guy. He's actually a lawyer in the Seattle area, and he's written several of them. And in one of the books, the team has pitchers and catchers that are twins that both pitch and catch.
Nice.
And sometimes the pitcher doesn't want to come out, and so they will actually just pretend to be the other one. And so when they go in to switch, because, you know, if I'm pitching, I have to now go put on gear.
Yeah.
They'll go in and they'll switch, and then just the same pitcher would come out again, and he thinks that he'd switch to the pitcher, switch the catcher.
So that they were messing with their own coach.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
So they read your dream. Maybe I'll slip you that book and then you can live it out.
Yeah, that'd be cool. All right, rule books. So we must have rule books available and consult those publications when needed during the course of a game. Here in Ohio, we don't do protests, right? So it all happens here at the game. So be prepared to check the books and explain the proper ruling to the coach. We continue to have a few unfortunate situations each year where rules are misapplied and not corrected. The OHSAA does not recognize protests, so it is imperative that we refer to the books when needed and make the corrections if necessary. The White Book author, probably Jerry, says, I think we can all agree that when the umpires in a game disagree on a rules application, there is no reason not to check a rule before we award the wrong base, fail to count a run that should have scored, or make some other rules misapplication.
And I think this is important. So basically, the way I'm hearing what you just said, if I'm hearing you and echoing back the thought, they're saying, don't be afraid to check the book, which means literally you go to your bag, you pull out a dead tree publication, or if you have it electronically, but the dead tree is better. So that way you can hand it to the coaches back and forth and you are looking at the rules. There are some umpires that I've seen express a displeasure for that sort of thing in some of the groups online and the forums where they say, you look incompetent if you consider the rule book.
Yeah,
or you break confidence.
Is this your first game?
Yeah. And you break confidence. Or you undermine authority or anything else. And this is suggesting no, because you know what undermines authority? Ultimately getting it wrong.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, we've seen umpires get together and make decisions and do things. And we know from being a part of those, sometimes two people, if there's three umpires, two of them might have one interpretation, one has another, and you guys got to hash that. Remember this? Oh, yeah, you know, you're right. It does say that.
Yeah.
And if you're, especially if you're working by yourself at a JV game or some of the varsity games that happen around here after some rainouts, and or even only two. And now if you're 1-1 and one of you doesn't know what to do, get the book. It's not that bad.
And it's how you deal with it too. Like you mentioned a really good one there. So let's talk about a JV person, which is typically one of our newer umpires. Mm-hmm. And I'm not to say I was a newer umpire that knew the rules pretty darn well, right? Because I've been coaching for a long time. So just because they're new doesn't mean they don't know the rules. Mm-hmm. You know, make sure that you understand that everybody's an individual. But let's just assume for a second that there is a rules question for that JV umpire. And he could say to the coach, you know, well, let's look it up in the rule book. You know, and the coach might say, well, why do you need to do that? Don't you know the rules? And it's like, well,
show you.
Yeah, right. So, no, I want to make sure that we get it right for the girls' coach. Mm-hmm. And so let's look it up together. And so you grab your book and you say, you know, here's the rule section. Here's exactly what it says. This is how it applies to our situation here. I wouldn't say something like, turns out I got the call right, or something like that. It's like, here's the rule. Here's how it applies to our situation here. So she's safe at first, and we're going to play ball now, coach. And you put the book away and you go away. You know, it's done. And if you can't do that, if you can't be humble enough for that, or give that grace at least to the coach,
yeah,
to make sure that you get it right for the girls. And so I'll get on a high horse here just for a second and say, if anybody that's been listening to the podcast since the beginning, go back to why do Pete and I do this? Mm-hmm. Why do we do softball anything at all? It's because of a love for the sport and a intense desire to make sure that it's a fair contest for the players that play it. We love the girls. We love what softball gave to us. Get it right for the girls is number one in our thing. We do it for them anyway, so make sure you get it right. You
know? Yep.
All right. Head decorations, headwear, religious apparel. So regardless of the NFHS playing rules, state law requires that officials and contest administrators not prohibit or create any obstruction to wearing religious apparel when competing or participating in our interscholastic athletics. Boy, that's called interscholastic athletics. Unless a legitimate danger to a participant is identified due to wearing the religious apparel. If such a danger is identified, the administrator or official of the event or activity shall offer all reasonable accommodations to the participant wearing the religious apparel. So try really hard to make sure that you're not doing anything to infringe upon somebody's right.
Yeah, for religious expression.
To have religious expression. So mm-hmm. Don't do that.
Yeah, and so often it's not, a lot of times it can be some beads, it can be a cross necklace of some kind or a head covering, a scarf, you know, for things like that, for like Muslims or things like that. It's almost never a real problem. Or even if someone came up with this crazy thing, it's my religious expression to wear a dagger around my neck or something. And then it's like, but then even here, all reasonable accommodation. So if your accommodation is, you know what, have a sheath on that dagger and have it bundled up with some duct tape or whatever.
Wrap it in tape, yeah.
Yeah, whatever it is, you know, we're going to try our best to meet the two between the religious expression and, you know, safe playing.
So what about a reminder about dugout personnel, Pete?
Yeah. So the thing about dugout personnel is that they need to remain in the dugout. It might have been in the name, but it might not be obvious. So this includes coaches, players, and other team personnel. Rule 366 offers some limited exceptions like ball and bat shaggers wearing helmets, by the way, who are retrieving discarded bats or foul balls and may be hit well off the field or down the foul lines. The exception does not cover foul balls or loose balls near a fielder or behind home plate. So don't run on the field to get a foul ball. We'll let a player get that. Defensive coaches are not permitted to take position outside of the dugout for the purpose of signaling pitches. They're the ones that a lot of times they do feel the most entitled. Offensive coaches on the field must take positions within their coach's box, at least, you know, prior to the pitch.
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, you said the defensive coaches are the
pitch callers.
The pitch calling, mm-hmm. Yeah, part of the coach. They take try to get as much liberty as they can.
Yeah, buckets onto the field, or they move out of the dugout and maybe behind home plate so the pitcher can see them.
Yeah,
and a batter can't.
Can't do that. Got to get in the dugout. And then, good point on the coach's box for the offensive coaches. At the start of the pitch, they must be in the box.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really enforce that too awful much. If they're too close to us, you know, we may move them back. Or if they're too close to the base, you know, we may move them out of the way.
Most fields I play on don't have them marked. This is a general area. Go stand over by third base. Go stand over by first base. Don't be in anyone's way. As long as you're doing that, cool. And then once the play starts, you can't interfere with anything and just try to get out of the way. I've been hit as a first base coach. I've actually been hit with an error ball before, but I was standing where I was supposed to be. And so it happened, but it was,
just
you know,
got hit.
Yeah. I got hit. That's what happened.
That's just what happened. Yep. Could not move in time. Okay, next one is substitution rules and lineup card management. So this is an area where softball rules provide some complexities. In an effort to assist the umpires, Tom Hathaway of Cincinnati, a longtime instructor and member of the softball umpire improvement team, has developed a DP flex chart, which includes various actions and results for the flex rule. Tom has also authored an article covering lineup substitutions and penalty enforcement. Each of these items can be found elsewhere in the white book, so we may cover those in another episode. I'm sure they'll be helpful to all of us. I would also remind you that the Appendix H on page 98 of the 2025 softball rulebook is a valuable DP flex resource. So also episode
nine. I think
for our podcast is pretty good. It's important to note that substitution and batting order rules for junior high, middle school, grade 7 and 8 games are the same as the high school rules. The only rule differences for grade 7 and 8 is the pitching distance. There is no roster batting permitted in junior high school. So same rules apply. The only difference is pitching distance. That's it. So it's 40 feet for middle school, 43 feet for high school.
Correct.
And that's the only difference. Every other rule applies. It might not make sense to you that they apply because some of our junior high schools here in Central Ohio, maybe some of the inner city schools. I remember one of my very first ones. Can't name the school. If I even remembered it, I wouldn't name it. But they got off the bus and the girls, some of the girls were wearing their dad's outfield slow pitch, you know, 24 inch, you know, softball glove. And I said, you can take your infield now. You know, you were late getting here, but you can take your infield now. And the coach said, no. We don't know where to throw the ball if we could throw the ball. So we're good. We're ready to play. Like, okay, this is going to be fun, right? But all the rules still apply. So yeah. Maria and I ended up doing a game also a long time ago where there was, we had to turn the, we ended up calling the assigner and said, hey, we got to turn this into a scrimmage because this can't be a real game because they don't have enough players. They didn't bring enough equipment. They don't have, you know, they were borrowing hats. They were, you know, it's like, we want the girls to be able to play. Goes back to that other thing I said just a little bit ago, right? We're here for the girls, but we also have to follow the rules, right? And so in Ohio, you got to follow the rules. We asked them if they had scrimmages left. They said yes. And we said, okay, it's a scrimmage. So go ahead and let's play. We were teaching pitching. Maria and I were teaching pitchers how to pitch.
Well, that's one of the things. We talked about that before too, about when it's a game, you got to go by the rules. You can't all agree. We're going to start 1-1 count. But it's a scrimmage. You can modify the rules and the situations and everything else. And that does offer a good opportunity. And that was a good opportunity for you guys to do that. And if they're willing to accept, you know, the guidance from some people that know the game, then I feel like everyone's experience was enriched.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Last one before we get to the mechanics piece of the book. And so this one's about game management. Umpires know that their responsibility is for what happens on the field. I just said that different, I think. Game administration and site management is a school responsibility. So umpires are responsible for what happens on the field. Game administration and site management Game administration and site management is the school's responsibility. So this is important for a number of reasons. Weather issues, the rare case of spectators causing problems that need attention, or other emergencies. Prior to the game, no later than the pregame conference with the coaches, find out if game management is available or if the head coach is filling that role.
Quite often.
Most of the time in Central Ohio anyway, it is the head coach. When I was coaching at Kilbourne, there were many times that the athletic director was there.
Yeah, the AD was on a cart and he was moving site to site. He went over and saw lacrosse, he saw baseball, exactly. He saw us. Yep. He was available, but head coach was your initial point of contact.
He's the guy, yep. So in the spring, there are often many events going on at a school, and this forces the coach to take this responsibility. In any event, umpires need to know who to go to should assistance become necessary. So we always did that. You walk on, say, hey, who's game management? Is it you today, coach?
Yeah.
Do you have the paper for me to sign to make sure I get paid? Do you have, what are the... I've never umpired at this school before. You know, what are your ground rules? You know, you're doing all of that kind of stuff in your pre-game with site management.
And they mentioned the weather and stuff too. It's important. Prior to the start of the game, the contest occurring is up to the school. You know, so it's like, are we playing today? Yes. And then once the game starts, you could turn around and go, okay, delay or call the game, you know, based on the field conditions. But you can't do that prior to the game. That's up to them to decide what's happening up until the point in which you start the game.
Yep. So many times it happens here in Ohio. We have so much rain in the early spring and we get games canceled because of temperature outside and that kind of stuff. And so many times it's like, well, it looks like it's going to rain, so we should probably cancel. And it's like, yeah, they're not going to do that. they're going to go right up to the point where, hey, we can't play this game, you know? So
yeah, and you got coaches trying to, lightning, I didn't see any lightning. What are you talking about? That was wasn't thunder. That was a truck. There was a truck rumbling by.
Exactly. That's exactly right. So how are we doing on time, Pete?
We are looking about halfway through a normal episode length. Or we are at an episode length, I should say. As we're halfway through the material, we're at a normal episode length.
Yep. So we should probably stop it here. We'll come back for our next episode and cover the OHS reminders around mechanics. And then at the same time, probably include some of the things that they have about positioning for calling pitches and stuff like that. So
okay.
That's at least that's the plan as we're closing this episode down. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah. Until next time.